doing life together, living community, not alone, in the book of Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to be in verse 7 through 15, and what we do here, we stand for a reading of the word and honor of God's word. So when you, if you can stand, please stand with me. Hebrews chapter 3, if you can't find it, Hebrews, ask your neighbor to help you find it. So Hebrews chapter 3, starting at verse 7. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, you ready? Here we go. Let me stop dropping stuff. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, everybody say today.
Today.
If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was actually provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we have your word. I pray, God, that you will open our hearts to not only to receive your word, but to obey your word. I pray, God, that we will leave here better than we came, and that, Lord, that we will know, God, that you not only bless the reading, but you bless the doers of your holy word. So I pray, God, you'll speak to me that I may speak to your people, that our lives may reflect the goodness of Jesus Christ, not only in this place, but where we go, that our light will shine in such a way that we'll bring glory to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and give thanks. Amen. You may be seated. And I entitled this message, Be an Encourager. Be an Encourager. Be an Encourager. We know what the opposite of encourager can be. It can be a discourager. And God wants us to be an encourager. The Bible talks about encourage one another. Encourage one another. And all of us need encouragement at some time. We need to be encouraged by one another. And I just believe that coming to church should be a place where we can be encouraged. Encouraged to serve God. Encouraged to obey God. Encouraged to live out everything, all the promises that God has in store for us, who has blessed us with. So we want to be encouraged. And not only we want to be encouraged, we need to be an encourager. We need to encourage people. And so in the book of Hebrews, what I'm honing in on is verse 13 when he says, but exhort one another. The word exhort means to encourage one another every day as long as it is called today. So in other words, we need to be encouraged every day. We need to be encouraged every day. All of us seems to walk a little bit more taller when someone encourages us. You know how it is when someone encourages you to do good or to be your best self. And in the Word of God, we see how God encourages us. And so my key truth this morning is this. Encouragement is one of the primary ways we urge the people in our lives to pursue Christ and grow in their relationship with Him. Encouragement is one of the primary ways we urge the people in our lives to pursue Christ and grow in their relationship with Him. We want to encourage them, not to discourage people, but we want to encourage people to say, hey, you know what? You know, God has a purpose and plan for your life, and you don't want to miss it. To me, that's an encouraging word. That God has so much in store for you and in store for me that we want to believe and we want to claim all the promises that God has for us. I want to encourage you today to walk with God. Because when you walk with God, you begin to fulfill more than you ever thought you could do when you walk with God, when you trust Him. Amen. You know, the Bible says that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. And in other words, what God is, what the Bible is saying, that when you walk with God, God begins to blow your mind. Amen. He begins to take you to heights you never thought you could do on your own. So we want to encourage people. Now we've all met people who have discouraged us at times. Some of us maybe have been a discourager at times. Even if we're not careful, we can discourage our children from pursuing Christ and growing in Him. When we're thinking we're doing the right thing, we're actually doing the wrong thing. We're discouraging them. When we can do that is that every time they do something bad, that we bring the hammer down. Or we tell them, hey, God's watching you. Be careful. Be careful with that, because we all, us who are older now, we know that we ain't always been in church shouting and praising God. We've been in another church, but it wasn't entitled church. It was called the club. But and we ain't always been praising God. So what we want to do, we want to encourage people to say, hey, walk with God, because the days are evil. They are. As in the book of Hebrews, they were suffering persecution. They were going through some tough times. And if anybody needed encouragement, they did. Because some of them wanted to give up and turn back. They wanted to give up and throw in the towel. Have you ever wanted to throw in the towel in life sometimes? Something that discouraged you, and someone came and said, you can do it. You can move forward. And I'm gonna ask a couple of questions and answer for us why disciples of Jesus need encouragement. Why do disciples of Jesus need encouragement? Now you say, hey, if I got Jesus, then that's all I need. Well, we still need some encouragement. We still need encouragement, even when we are Christians. And the first reason I believe that we need encouragement as disciples of Jesus Christ is this. Life is hard, and being a committed disciple is even harder. Life is hard already by itself. But being a committed disciple is even harder. Life is already hard all by itself. You meet people. They have had a hard life. They live a hard life. But when you want to follow Jesus Christ, it becomes even harder. How many of you have said, man, I was doing good till I became a Christian? Didn't have no issues, man. Life was okay, man. And as soon as I became a Christian, started wanting to follow God, the bottom fell out. Things started coming in my life. I started noticing that people just being ugly and mean and nasty. And I'm like, man, I'm having so much issue now that I'm a Christian. Sometimes life gets harder before it gets better. Because now you've been exposed to the truth and what is right and what is wrong. And now you have this struggle within you. Being a committed disciple is even harder. Now, notice I said a committed disciple. Commitment takes consistency, and it takes you doing it over and over again, and it's hard to be a committed disciple of Jesus Christ against a world that's telling you that, hey, do as you please. Hey, as long as it feels good to you, do it. You're not hurting anybody. But when you want to follow God and really walk with Him and be committed, it's going to be hard. Because as a disciple, we battle three things: sin, the flesh, and the devil constantly. You say, well, I don't battle none of those things. Well, that means you've given in to them. If you are a committed follower of Jesus Christ, you are going to battle sin, the flesh, and the devil. Those things will be with you until you go to glory. We're going to always wrestle with sin in our lives, not in our lives. But also, we walk around with, Paul says that we battle the flesh. Romans 7 says that, hey, listen, the things I want to do, I can't do. The things I don't want to do, I wind up doing. He says, I have this battle within me that wherever I go, there's this war going on inside of me that the things I want to do for God, I struggle. Things I don't want to do, I wind up doing. He says, so this is inner struggle within me. Anybody struggling in their flesh today? Have you ever noticed that from Monday to Friday, there's no struggle to get up and go to work and commute? And why Sunday tends to be a struggle? That you just, I just can't seem to get here on time on Sunday. Why is that an issue? Why are you fighting on Sunday? How come Monday you up ready to go, meal prep, you out of here? Seriously. But Sunday, oh, man, you've been just, it's just hard to get up out of bed. I just, oh, man, I prayed about it. I knew I was going to be on time. And I'm still 5 minutes late. Every Sunday. You You struggle in the flesh. That's the flesh. You struggle. The flesh is telling you it's okay to sit in that comfy bed. It's nice in this bed. And then we say, you know, God knows my heart. God ain't watching no clock anyway. That's just the pastor. You know, the pastor watching folk, but God ain't watching people. Okay. But we struggle with all of us, right? You know, and then when you hear, then you say that. So now you have to struggle with loving people that are unlovable. You ever met some unlovable people? And yet now you're hearing God tells you to pray for your enemies and love your enemies and do good to them. And that's a struggle for us, isn't it? If you say it's not, then okay. But we struggle with that. But the devil is always constantly around, looking for that open door that you give him. We always say he looks for an opportunity. The Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion. He's seeking someone to what? Devour. And that's why when the devil always looking for the isolated sheep. The one by themselves. Looking around. Everybody else gone. They still standing around. Nobody. And they get eaten up. Because they're not running in the pack. That's why we always say here that it's good to be in community. Because when you isolate yourself, you have opened yourself up to the devil's. Now he's going to attack you. Because now you have no defenses. You by yourself. And that's when he gets us. So we struggle with those things. The battle with sin, the flesh, and the devil. Now hopefully as you mature in Christ, you begin to sin less. No one is sinless, but hopefully as you mature in Christ, you begin to sin less. The things you used to do, you don't do anymore because you're maturing in Christ and you begin to walk in Christ. But that's a struggle. That's a choice that you made. You choose to begin to walk with God. And that's why you need to be around other believers to encourage you to do the right thing. Because we have so many people in the world that would encourage you to do the wrong thing. I'm telling you. You know what I'm telling you. You go on your job and somebody make you mad and you tell some of your unsaved friends, man, hey, she don't know who she messing with. I'll tell her peace of mind. Go ahead, girl, tell her. Go on, if I was you, I'd let her, hey. You know, mom ain't raised no punk. Hey, you know, we can get with it. Start pulling earrings off. Give me that Vaseline. Let me go in here and... See, they're going to encourage you. Get her. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all like that. Go on over there and get them. See, they encourage you to do the wrong thing. Right? And that feed right into your flesh. But you ever met somebody, you mad, and they tell you, oh, just pray for them. Don't you want? What you just pray for them? I don't want to hear all that. Can we pray right now? No, I don't want to pray. You want to fight. And so you have to be encouraged to obey God and do what's right. Because life is hard. Being a committed disciple is even harder. And we battle every day against sin, the flesh, and the devil. And he wants to devour you. He really does. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to devour you. He wants to take your... See, if the enemy can't... Now, he knows he can't take your salvation, but he wants to destroy your testimony. Hello. He said, if I can't have your soul, but I will destroy your testimony, I won't let you take nobody else to heaven with you. Because I'm always put somebody in your place. That one person that always makes you mad. You have a good day. Sunday morning, you come to church. You say, man, I feel so good. I feel so filled with the Spirit. Until Monday morning, that person you don't like show up you, in the parking lot. You see him. He said, the devil is a lie. Here they go. Changes your mood. So we want to make sure that we want to encourage everyone to walk with God. So also, see, God is not looking for superhero disciples. He's looking for faithfulness. Come in and say, oh, this is impossible to do. No, it's not. With God, all things are possible. Amen? Amen? See, when we read the Bible, a lot of times we think that these Bible characters are superhuman. No, they're not. They were just faithful to God. See, God is not looking for a superhero disciple. He's looking for, are you just faithful? Just be faithful to me and trust me and watch what God does in your life. Remember I said about giving is about, it's not about how much money, it's about faith. Living for God is about just being faithful to God. God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust your word. I'm going to trust you. No matter what I'm going through a hard time right now, but I'm going to trust that you're going to bring me out. And not only this, I'm going to trust God that you're with me in the midst of what I'm going through. See, that's the biggest thing, that when you're going through suffering and going through trials, that you can trust that God cares about you and that God knows your name and that God holds your hand through what you're going through. See, it's one thing to sing that. Oh, it's another thing to live that. See, we can all sing that, but hey, when you start going through, you need to know that he is holding your hand and that he knows your name. So I want to encourage you, no matter what you're going through, don't quit. The best is in front of you. So you got to move ahead. Don't back up, move forward. Keep moving forward. Don't back up. Don't mark time. Keep moving forward. So we have to be encouraged. Because sometimes we come to church discouraged. Hello. That's truth. You come here, you say, okay, my mind wants to be here, but my body doesn't. You're discouraged about something that happened in life. Whether you got some bad news about a loved one, or you got bad news about a job, or your kids acting crazy. Hello? And you say, man, I'm just so discouraged. I'm here, don't want to be here, but I need to be here. And you walk in and someone gives you a hug and encourages you and says, I know what you're going through. And you leave here better than you came. Amen? I want to leave here better than I came every Sunday. I want to leave here a little bit more encouraged in God. Don't you? But we want to encourage one another to be faithful. Because life happens to us. Christianity is not always going to be, you know, the sun shining, everything's good. Sometimes we're in the valley. And we need people to walk with us in the valley. And to tell us, it's going to be okay down there. That even when you're down there, God is with you. See, what we sometimes we hear a lot, we hear Christians, is all about our mountaintop experiences. Oh, man, this is, but I want to hear you tell me about when it was bad for you. Tell me what you did when it was going bad. Tell me when the money was funny and nobody was laughing. That's what I want to know. How do you serve God when that's happened in your life? Amen? That's what I want to hear. Because sometimes during our suffering is when we're closer to God, that we can hear him speak to us during what we're going through. Be encouraged today, no matter what you're going through. How do you encourage people who's maybe they got some bad news from the doctor? What do you say to someone like that? You say, be encouraged. God is with you, no matter what you're going through. All of us in this room are going through different issues in life. And you never know what people are going through. That's why I always try to err on the side of grace with people. Because somebody may come in here and you don't know what they're going through. And they might not even pay you no attention. Or they might say something rude to you. And you want to chop their head off. And I say, hey, give them grace. Because you don't know what they're walking through right now. Encourage them. Encourage them, because we all go through some hard times in life. But God is still good in the midst of what we're going through. Amen? Also, see, spiritual maturity doesn't happen in isolation. It happens in community. I'm going to say that again. Spiritual maturity doesn't happen in isolation. It happens in community. See, if you're by yourself, what happens if you're by yourself and you are discouraged? Can you encourage yourself? No, you're discouraged. You need somebody to come alongside you to encourage you, right? So that's why when you are going down and you're going through, you need to run to. Amen? When you're going through, you need to run to God, not from God. We need one another. We need each other. And I found that many people, many Christians, let me say, many disciples, when they start going through, you can't find them. The FBI can't find them. Calling the CIA. Have you seen so-and-so? They're in hiding. Why? Why do we always seem to isolate ourselves when we're going through? That's when you should run to. Because really what we're saying, when we're going to isolate ourselves, we're saying that no one knows the trouble I'm going through. That old song, that old spiritual song, huh? No one knows. No, someone knows what you're going through. Somebody has been what you, I guarantee you, what you're going through right now, someone in this room has been through it. and can tell you what God can do. If you trust him, if you hold on. Amen? Someone said, when you get to the end of your rope, just tie a knot and hang on. God's there with you. Amen? God is at the end of your rope. He's still there. He's at the beginning, the middle, at the end of your rope. Just hang on to God. Trust him. But we need to hear that from other Christians to tell you it's going to be okay. We have to be around other Christians to encourage ourselves. That's why it does my heart so good that when we go and visit, you know, the connection group, to hear people encouraging one another. Someone says, oh, I've been through this. Oh, I've been through this, but God brought me out. And people begin to light up. They leave connection groups so much lighter because they've been able to put their burden on them. And someone said to you, it's going to be okay. I've been there. Amen? We need one another. See, therefore, we need to encourage. Well, I mean, you know, we all need encouragement to trust and obey God. You know that? We need encouragement to trust and obey God. Because anybody can encourage you not to obey God, not to trust God. We need to trust, to be able to trust God even when it's hard. See, it's easy to trust God when things are going good. Isn't it? It's hard to trust God when things are going bad. Man, I don't know. Can I trust God? Can I trust that God's going to make a way out of no way? Can I trust that God will provide in the midst of what I'm going through? Yes, you can. How you know? If someone's going to encourage you, let me tell you what God did for me. See, it's easy when we say, you know, I want to be around people that say, man, I was able to trust God and to give even in the midst when it was hard. And I've seen God make a way for my family. We didn't know what we was going to do, but we kept serving God. We kept trusting God. We kept giving, and God made a way for us. That's encouragement, isn't it? That encourages you to say, I can do that too. Because the same God you serve, the same God I serve, and God shows no partiality. What he did for you, he'll do for me, because God is the same God today, yesterday, and forever. He can be trusted. Amen? We need to encourage one another to trust and obey God. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, hold on to God. Hold on to God. When you hear his voice, he said today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. See, what he's saying is that when you hear God speak to you, you need to trust and obey. See, some people can hear God's voice in church and walk out of here and do nothing with it. Amen? But we don't want you to do it. We want you to say, when you hear God speak to you, trust him and obey. Do what he's telling you to do. He can be trusted. God speaks to his children, amen? Now, if God knows your name, I mean, he called you by name. And he called you to trust him. Have you ever had God tell you to do something and you didn't understand it? Have you? If you haven't, just hold on. He will. I'm telling you. God, see, all of us, if you are a Christian, there could be one time in your life you're going to have what I call an Abraham experience. That God's going to tell you to do something that does not seem right. It's going to be really seem crazy. That's crazy. That don't make any sense, God. Now, God told Abraham to do what? I want you to go and want you sacrifice Isaac for me. Wait a minute, God. Now, you just told me that Isaac's going to be, he's going to have a whole bunch of kids. He's going to be the heir. They telling me to kill him? He said, no, I told you to offer him up to me. There's a difference. There have been times in my life now that God has told me to do something that I thought was crazy. Seriously. There have been times in my life God has told me to give somebody some money that I want to keep in my pocket. I'm telling you, I want to keep that money. And God told me to give it. I'm in church minding my business, thinking I'm doing okay. I said, well, I'm going to eat after this. And he tells me to give that money up. I'm like, is that the devil? I can rebuke him. I want to rebuke him. No, God, that's me. I'm telling you. One time I'm minding my business, and this guy is speaking, and then God tells me to give this money, and he tells me how much to give. I said, man, I didn't want to get that, man. So now here's what I tried. That's okay. I know. I'm going to make sure. I'm going to give me a way out. I'm going to tell my wife, hey, baby, you know, God told me to get his money. Now I'm hoping she's going to say, uh-uh. So I said, baby, I think God want me to get this money. I
I said, and I think he wanted to give me to give this amount. And she said, me too. I think you're right. I said, oh, man.
Wasn't no way out, right?
What I'm trying to tell you is that sometimes God will tell you to do something that don't seem right in your mind, but it's right in his mind.
Now I'm telling you that God was trusting me. All he wanted me to do was trust in my faith, trust and obey him to do it. Because he said, hey, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And you're not going to lose what I'm going to give you, but I want you to trust me and give that away.
But I did it. I'm so glad I did.
Amen?
I'm so glad I did. Because you can never outgive God.
And see, you want to be around people who have those testimonies. Tell you, yeah, that happened to me too. Amen?
You too?
Yeah, me too.
And we have a Jehovah Jireh, our provider.
Amen.
See, we want to encourage everyone to trust and obey God.
I talk to people all the time. They'll tell me stuff. It's, hey, I think God told me, you know, not to be with that person. What do you think?
I said, don't be with him.
Now, I ain't talking about your spouse. Now, nobody's ever said that. But I want y'all to come with that craziness. But
no, I'm telling you. There have been young people who came to me and said, hey, listen, Pastor, God told me not to be with that good-for-nothing boyfriend of mine.
What do you think I should do? Don't be with that good-for-nothing boyfriend of yours. That's what I say.
And you know what he tell me? But Pastor, I just love him.
I'm sure. See, some of y'all been there, huh? See, I knew it. See, some of y'all told somebody that.
I just love. That's okay. Well, okay.
I'm not trying to convince you, but I need you to trust and obey God. Because if God telling you to leave that alone, he says, I got something better for you. But you, what you really, now what you're saying to God is, God, I don't trust you. You have better for me. And some of y'all are with some mess. And not God's best. See, I'm telling you right now, I'd rather be with God's best than be with some mess. And God said, no, go have your mess, but I won't give you my best. Because you won't trust and obey me. Some of you got to be encouraged to trust God. To do what he called you to do. And watch what he'll do in your life. See, God, for some of you, God has a Boaz for you. But you don't want the Boaz. You got something else. I'm gonna go there.
God want to give you a Ruth, but you got somebody else. You got Babe Ruth.
I want to encourage everyone here to trust God and do what he's called you to do. Seriously, to trust God. And then watch what God does in your life when you are encouraged by him. So when you hear his voice, it says today, if you hear his voice, obey him today, not tomorrow. If you hear God's voice today, obey him today, not tomorrow. And some of you say, okay, Pastor, I'll do what you say tomorrow. That no, today. Today is the time to exercise faith with God. Amen. Because he says in verse 12, take care, brothers and sisters, lest there be in any of you an evil and unbelieving what? Heart. Leading you to fall away from the living God. See, isolation, we drift away from God. We stop believing God. We stop doing. Remember we said that weak devotion leads to worldly desires and wrong decisions. Stop being devoted to God and the people of God, you're going to have worldly desires. It's going to lead to wrong decisions. Trust God. Don't have an unbelieving heart. Don't fall away from the living God. We want to encourage one another today to trust God. So now we're going to look at how to encourage one another from the life of Joseph. How can we encourage one another? And I want to tell you about the life of Joseph and how Joseph encouraged people. Now, many of us know Joseph by another name, but his name was really Joseph. But the apostles nicknamed him Barnabas. And that Barnabas' name means son of encouragement.
His name was Joseph. But he had the gift of encouragement when they start calling him, hey, encouragement. That was his name. Because it's who he was. Barnabas, if you met Barnabas, he came into the room and made you feel better than what you were. That's who he was. He was an encourager. You ever met anybody like that? That encourage you? So how do we encourage one another? One way we can do that is through acts of kindness. Through acts of kindness. Supporting others financially in their time of need. Barnabas did that. In Acts chapter 4, it says that Barnabas was such an encourager that he went and had some property and he sold the property and took the proceeds and brought it to church and gave it to the apostles to meet the need of the poor saints. That's some encouragement. You ever needed something? You needed some money and somebody came to you and said, God told me to bless you with it. How'd you feel about that when you needed something and somebody blessed you with it? Were you encouraged? I know I was. He said, Lord, how am I going to make, how am I going to pay these bills? And you walk in and someone says, I just want to bless you with that. That encourages you to say, man, God knows my name. That God sees my situation and he has met my needs and has told you, I can praise God anyhow. God's going to meet my needs. Someone encourage you. Do you think that those saints were encouraged by what Barnabas did? They was encouraged by him. Because I said, God meets his people's needs through his people. Amen. Say that again. God will meet your need through his people. Amen. God will always do that. See, I'll tell you all the time, I would rather be a blessing to you than need a blessing from you. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, that means I really give you some money, then you have to give me some money. That means God has met my needs and I have overflow. Amen? Amen. See, my cup runneth over. Am I wanting to overflow? I want to overflow that it will bless you. See, I want you to be so blessed that you overflow and I get a little something of it. Amen? Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Give me a little something of that overflow. Amen? Amen? That's what God does. So here is Barnabas. He was living in the overflow. He had some property. He said, you know what? I ain't going to build a bigger house in this land. I'm going to sell the land and give the money to God's people. You know why? Because I can't be God-given. And the saints were blessed through acts of kindness. Now, it can be, it don't always have to be financially. I'm just saying what Barnabas did. It was financially. He did something. And what I'm saying to you and I, that God will bless you, some of you, God will bless you financially. And it's not for you to go out there and get a bigger house, bigger car, it's for you to be a bigger blessing. Amen. Oh, I got a raise. I'm going to go spend more. No, God said, won't you give more? Because God said, I can trust you with that money, but won't you be open to hear? I'm going to tell you who to give it to. See, the Bible says we're to be good stewards. Be faithful. God said, okay, I'm going to give that to you. But leave your hands not like this, but like this. So I'm telling you, what we should do, walk around, not walk, but you know, with your hands like this. Not walk around and you'd be crazy. But I'm saying, you know me, spiritually. don't go to work like this, but spiritually. You should live your life with your hands open like this. And what I mean by that, God said, I can put some in. That I can take out. And how many of you know that God always puts more in than he takes out? Amen? But when your hands closed, God said, I can't put nothing in there. You're too tight. You're tightwad. Everything is tight. And you wondering why you're struggling. God said, I can't put nothing in. I'm trying to put something in there. I can't get nothing in there. You hold on to everything. But when you open it up like this, God said, now you're talking. Watch what I do. See, it's a faith issue. Do you have enough faith to open your hands to God? I want to encourage some of you. I want to encourage some of you today to open your hands to God and see what he's doing. See, some of you, at some point, God says the fact that now you've been giving that amount for 10 years. I want to scratch your faith. Go a little extra, see what happens. Hello? I'm just telling you, I want to encourage some of you. Not only this, with words of affirmation. Speaking up for those who have been rejected by the church. Barnabas spoke up for Saul. Now, Saul was known for killing Christians. He was on a journey for killing Christians. We know him by the name of the Apostle Paul, but his name was Saul. Saul gets saved on the road to Damascus, having an experience with God. Now he goes back to Jerusalem, and he wants to join Beyond the Walls Church in Jerusalem. And they remember, wait a minute, that joker killed Deacon Stephen. And he killed Deacon Stephen. But now he wants to be part of this church? Oh, no. And he came and they said, uh-uh. We don't believe that he really has been converted. And they rejected him. No, we can't come here. Now, who was it that spoke up for Saul? Barnabas. It says that Barnabas found Saul and brought him to the apostles. And he told the apostles all that God had did in Saul's life. Can you imagine that? Here's Barnabas, an encourager, speaking words of affirmation to Saul, who was worse an enemy of the church. And there's sometimes that we have to speak up for those who have been hurt by the church. God can save anybody. Amen? Amen. Don't you get so high minded where God can't save them. You reject him, folks. Listen, if God didn't reject him, who am I to reject him? Amen. And we need people to speak words of affirmation into our lives. Because we need that. Because we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. And I just thank the Lord that Jesus Christ spoke up on my behalf. Amen. Aren't you glad? Amen. Father, forgive him, for he know not what he's doing. Amen. But we need people, even today, to affirm us. We all need encouragement, don't we? Amen. Everybody needs it, because it's easy to criticize people. But it's harder to affirm people and to speak up for those who have been rejected by the church. But God does that in our lives. Sometimes, unfortunately, the church has not always been the safest place for sinners. Unfortunately, it hasn't. Now, it should be a safe place. It should be a place of refuge, shouldn't it? Because the church is full of sinners. But sometimes we get so high and mighty, we forget. We have what I call sin block. You don't remember when your saved days. I can't go back that far. Yeah, I can. Yeah, but you remember how you used to be. And then when someone comes in and reminds you of who you are, instead of you affirming them, you reject them, and you condemn them. We shouldn't do that to people. We all are a work in progress. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would I be? I'm telling you. If it wasn't for the grace of God in my life, where would I be? What about you? You are only who you are by the grace of God. You are only who you are by the grace of God. You have what you have by the grace of God. So we ought to praise God for that. So don't condemn anyone. We don't want to reject people. We want to receive people. And Barnabas said, Paul, I forgive you. And the Lord forgives you. You are my brother. And sometimes we're not careful. We hold people's sins over their head consistently. You know, remember when you did this? Remember what happened? Why wouldn't you keep doing that? Amen? So not only that, we want to encourage people with a ministry of presence, walking alongside others in their calling and spiritual journey. In Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, it was Barnabas who went on Paul in his first missionary journey. It was Barnabas who went with him. Why did Barnabas go with him? First of all, he said they was praying, and God said, separate to me Paul and Barnabas to the work I've called them to do. And I believe that Barnabas saw the call of God in Saul's life. And he said, Saul, I see God's call in your life. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to go with you on this dangerous journey, but I'm going to be with you. Not only to preach with you, but I think that Barnabas walked alongside Saul to encourage him for what was going to take place in his life. Because wherever Paul went, he was either being beat, stoned, or dragged out. And I think that Saul needed encouragement to get up and do it again. Amen? Can you imagine being beat and stoned? And then you're going to get up and go into the city again and do it again? You need to be encouraged, right? Yes. Saul had many nights of loneliness, being afraid. But yet, God says, I'm going to have Barnabas come alongside you and walk with you through this journey that I got you on. We need people to come alongside of us and walk. Sometimes just your ministry of presence is enough. Amen? Just being there. It's enough to say, I'm with you.
I'm walking with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to come alongside you. Because I see what God has in store for you. Who have you been a Barnabas to? Who's been a Barnabas to you? We all need that. We all can be an encourager because we all need to be encouraged. Amen. So Barnabas walks with Saul. Then not only that, we need to encourage people by seeing past someone's failure to see their God potential. Amen. Standing beside someone when they have disappointed others. Seeing past someone's failure to see their God potential. I didn't say to see their potential, I said their God potential. God potential means that who you can be in God. That if God get a hold of you, you have some potential. If God get a hold of you, you can really do some things for God. Have some God potential. Now in Acts chapter 15, Paul went on a missionary journey. Saul. And there's a young man that went with them named John Mark. And when the stones started flying and people's and elbows started throwing, fists started throwing, John Mark went back home. He went back home to mama, got sick, got homesick. He said, this ain't for me. I don't like these rocks been thrown at me. He went back home. He quit. He quit on Saul. So when they got ready to go on his second missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark back again. And Saul said, he's not going with me. That deserter, that coward, he left me. I ain't taking nowhere. I don't trust him. He ain't going with me. And Barnabas said, Saul, give him another chance. I see some God potential in John Mark. Yeah, he messed up. Yes, he disappointed you. But give him another chance. And Saul said, no. He's not going with me, Barnabas. Now, that's it. And Barnabas said, no, he's going. I want him to go with us. And he said, the argument got so bad that they separated from one another. Because Saul wouldn't budge, neither would Barnabas. Why would not Barnabas budge? Because he saw John Mark's God potential. Yes, did John Mark fail? Yes, he did. He did his first ministry, he failed the test. He disappointed Saul. But yet Barnabas said, I'm going to hang with you. See, many of us have failed God, have failed someone. But I want you to know this, our failures don't have to be final. Your failure does not have to be final. Matter of fact, you're not defined by your failure. Our failures don't have to be final. That's letter A. Point A, it don't have to be final. See, don't begin to describe you by their failure. Now, John Mark failed. But guess what? Was it final? No, it wasn't. There's four Gospels. There's Matthew, then there's what?
Mark.
Who wrote the Gospel of Mark? The one that failed on his first missionary journey. So I even think God didn't give up on Mark. God gave him another chance. Then later on in life, in 2 Timothy, when Paul was in prison, he says, send for John Mark, for he is useful to me in the ministry. See, never, ever, ever throw people away because of their failure. Because failure is not final. Everyone has God potential. I'm so glad that God didn't throw me away when I failed him. I'm so glad he didn't throw me away. I'm so glad he gave me, I ain't gonna say a second chance, I've been messed out a long time ago. He gave me another chance. We serve a God of another chance. And who are you? Who are I to throw people away? Amen. And now think about this. Now here's Saul. Now who spoke up for Saul when the church rejected him? Barnabas. And now who had to speak up
for Mark when Saul wants to reject Mark? Barnabas. Could it be that Saul had forgot what Barnabas had done for him? Maybe he had a sin block. Maybe he forgot. Now, Saul, remember now, you was once a murderer, and I spoke up for you. I found in some cases, if we're not careful, the people that get the most grace are the ones that throw the hardest rocks. The ones that you're giving grace to, that you covered up, sometimes they forget that they're the first one to throw the hardest rock. Oh, well, whatever. Well, hold on, bro. Remember when you was, don't forget now. Don't forget from which you have come from. Give somebody grace, because you never know where you're going to be the other side of needing the grace you're trying to withhold from someone else. Give it up. And when you do that, and I believe that Mark was encouraged by Barnabas standing up for him and walking alongside. So who discipled Mark? Barnabas. Because he saw God's potential. So Barnabas was a disciple maker. He was an encourager. He was a disciple maker. He blessed, helped Paul on his God potential, and he helped Mark. But all the time, Barnabas played the backdrop. He said, it's my job just to be an encourager. I'm not trying to be the chief spokesman. I'm going to be the one that encouraged God's spokesperson. Because I see what God's doing in their life. And sometimes we can encourage folks because we want to be in their spot. Think about that. Sometimes I ain't say anything good about you because I think I can do it better than you. God ain't called you. And so your job is to be an encourager. I want to encourage you what God's called you. Do what God's called you to do. I'm gonna cheer you on. It's not always good to point out people's failures. That's not being an encourager. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Be an encourager. We all need encouragement, don't you? Amen. The praise team needs encouragement, don't they? Amen. They do. Really, they seriously need encouragement. Now, it don't listen, they ain't telling me to say this, so I'm saying it anyway. But they tell me to say it. Don't look at them. You know how you encourage folks, the praise team? I'm serious. If I was in the praise team, you know how you encourage me? Be here on time. Amen. Singing with me. They're not put on a show for you. It's to the Lord. Amen. They invite you. I'm just coming for the word. The word happens when you start singing. Amen. Sometimes you miss your ministry. God's missing you through song. Right. It's not through the preaching. Sometimes it's not through the preaching that you get your healing. Your breakthrough comes through the singing. Amen. You ain't that deep. I'm coming for the word. I'm just that deep. No, you're not. No, that's not. We don't call that. That's called that shallow. You're just that shallow. That's encouragement to them. Hey, right? Amen? They need encouragement. Every ministry, the children ministry needs encouragement. They do. You tell them, hey, thank you for watching my kids. I know they're bad, but thank you for watching them. Just tell them that. They know. Just be. They ain't going to argue with, yeah, you're right. Yeah, we love them, though. No, sir, I was mic'd there. I saw a couple of them mic'd there. The name will remain anonymous, but I'm telling you. I encouraged them. I said, God bless, be with you. You need to encourage them. That's very important, right? You want to encourage your ushers, too. Seriously. Take the move up front. Move up front. Don't roll your eyes at them. Just move up front. Go. Help them out, right? They need to be encouraged, right? Everybody need to be encouraged. Even the AB need to be encouraged. They okay. When they miss up, don't look back and say, Pastor said, twice. Come on now. Don't do that. Okay, you know how some of y'all do that. He said it about three times. Come on. Don't do that. Just leave them alone, okay? It's cool. They need to be encouraged, all right? It's tough back there. They get caught up too. They get in the spirit sometimes. They lose it. They need to be encouraged. I'm serious. They need to be encouraged. The pastor need to be encouraged. I need to be encouraged sometimes. I need it too. Just you showing up sometime is an encouragement. Amen. Just, I'm here. Amen. I'm just going to show up. I'm here. You took the time to prepare. I want to hear what God has to say through you. I'm here. That's encouragement, isn't it? I'm going to show up and do what God's called. I'm with you, Pastor. I'm going to show up and encourage me when people say, man, I want to serve. That's encouragement. I want to do something. We all need it, don't we? So everybody can be an encourager. Because the Bible says that we have a God who is a God of encouragement. We have a God who is known as a God of encouragement. And I want to encourage people. Amen? Amen. So how do we take it beyond the walls? Look for opportunities to encourage someone this week. Amen. Look for the opportunity to encourage someone this week. Could be a sister or brother in here. Could be a spouse. Could be a child. Could be on your job. Look for opportunities to encourage someone. Because you may be the only person that's saving them from death. Some people was going to kill themselves. Some people said, I was going to kill myself. And someone gave me encouragement and gave me hope that I could live another day. That's deep, isn't it? You never know what people are going through. Some people lose hope. That's where they take their life. And I want to encourage you that life is worth living. Amen. Life is worth the living. No matter what you're going through, what you've done, God loves you, and God forgives you, and God wants the best for you.